Let us now draw near to our Lord in prayer. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you that we may be in your presence and worship of you this afternoon. What a privilege it is to offer to you, the God of our life, worship, adoration, and praise. We acknowledge that it is only with you that there is true comfort and salvation, real refuge and safety from all the trials and tribulations of life in a sinful world. We confess that we need your help and strength so very much every moment of our lives. We thank you for the love, grace, and mercy you have shown to us in Jesus Christ, the only Savior. Help us to put all of our hope and trust in you alone. Free us from a sorrowful and grieving heart. And give to us the assurance of your abiding presence and nearness in our lives. Help us to delight in your light and to rejoice in the joy of salvation through Christ alone. We pray that you will bless the reading of your holy word. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we may rightly understand it. Be with him who preaches your word, that it may be done truthfully and faithfully. And be with us who listen, that we may be edified and strengthened in our faith in you. May all of our worship be pleasing in your sight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, we will turn to the Heidelberg Catechism and read together Lord's Day 52. You can find it on page 896 in the Psalter hymnal. Lord's Day 52, all three question and answers. Here the Catechism concludes its explanation of the Lord's Prayer. What does the sixth petition mean? And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Means we are so weak that we cannot stand on our own for a moment. And our sworn enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh, never stop attacking us. And so, Lord, uphold us and make us strong by the power of your Holy Spirit, so that we may not be defeated in this spiritual fight, but may firmly resist our enemies until we finally win the complete victory. How do you conclude this prayer? For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. This means that we have made all these petitions of you because, as our all-powerful King, you are both willing and able to give us all that is good, and because your holy name, and not we ourselves, should receive all the praise forever. What does that little word Amen express? Amen means this shall truly and surely be. For it is much more certain that God has heard my prayer than I feel in my heart that I desire such things from him. Now we'll turn to Holy Scripture and read from the book of Romans and also from 1 Peter. And in Romans 8, verse 26 to 39, and we'll also read from 1 Peter 5. Romans 8, starting at verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he that who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now turning to 1 Peter 5, and we'll read the first 11 verses. First Peter 5, starting at verse 1. The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all peace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So far, the reading of God's Word. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, what a joy it is to know the only true God. How wonderful it is to know that he takes care of us. He invites us to cast upon him all of our burdens and anxieties. May we listen to His word to us and humble ourselves before Him. Let us hold fast to Him, the God of our life. Worship Him alone with gladness every day and fight the good fight of the faith in obedience to Him. The Apostle Peter, in his first letter, chapter 5, verse 8, warns his readers to be vigilant, sober-minded, and watchful. The reason for this is that your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. There is a dangerous enemy afoot who will try to undo everything the Lord has worked in His people. Peter warns that they must resist the devil and stand firm in the faith. Just as we must give ourselves over to the Lord and humble ourselves before Him and let Him work in our hearts and minds and lives, so certainly must we, on the other hand, also resist the devil and make sure that we do not give him a foothold in our life. Let us consider the last petition which the Lord Jesus taught His disciples with this final passage of Peter's first letter in view. I proclaim to you God's word under the following theme: pray to the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory in Christ. In this prayer, we will first ask for strength to resist our enemies. Second, praise Him for the promised completion of His work. And third, conclude with the Amen. In order to pray this last petition of the Lord's Prayer and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, we first need to be aware of the danger which awaits us in this fallen world. Peter speaks in very clear terms about what this danger is. He states that the devil is our adversary and that he is prowling around seeking someone to devour. The devil is the one who opposes God in every way. Any plans which God makes, he is eager to try to tear down and destroy. The church is God's handiwork, and therefore the church, God's people, is a target for him that he wants to wreak havoc with. We are on his hit list. And therefore Peter issues such a clear command: be sober-minded, be watchful. We have to be clear-minded as Christians and not let the thinking of this world infiltrate our minds and cloud the issues and muddle up our thinking so that we no longer see with clarity where the real struggle lies and how dangerous and insidious the attacks of the evil one are. The devil would like nothing more than that we think he is a cuddly house cat rather than a roaring lion. Because if we think he's a cuddly kitten, then we will not need to be watchful. Then we could think that he is no threat, that he and everything he represents can be enjoyed. Of course, the devil is anything but cute and cuddly. He is very dangerous. He is like a roaring lion. He is compared to a lethal animal who is out for the kill. It is an animal who announces his presence and power with a loud roar. The lion does not kill with stealth, but he relies on great fear in his prey so that they will be immobilized, trembling with terror. Now, the devil does use different methods at different times. Sometimes he tries to disguise himself and make us think that he is not so dangerous. But at other times, he tries to overwhelm by brute force. This latter method is happening all over the world where Christians are being viciously persecuted for their faith in Jesus Christ. And it is quite possible that Peter himself also experienced this during the time of the reign of Emperor Nero, who began a period of terrible persecution against Christians. Christian tradition has it that Peter died a violent death at the hand of persecutors. He knew what it was like, that the devil is a roaring lion looking for prey to devour. Yet, by God's grace, he and many other Christians were able to resist the attacks of the evil one and did not succumb to temptation and deny the faith. They kept their heads, stood firm in the faith, and were sober-minded and watchful. They stood firm, also knowing that brothers and sisters around the world were facing the same dangers as they were, and were also standing firm, rooted in the Lord their God, who will never abandon them or let them go. We live in a time and place where the evil one acts more subtly. He has great power here in Canada as well. The news media and many in influential positions are firmly in his grip. He is a most formidable foe, and we should never underestimate his wiles and cunning. We should not think that we personally, in our own strength, can take him on. He is much more powerful than we are, and we are certain to fail on our own. He is backed by years, centuries, even millennia of experience, and he has many helpers who eagerly carry out his bidding. We can resist him only because of the Lord's help. The Catechism also mentions two other enemies we have to contend with. The second enemy is the world in which we live. Every day we are bombarded with messages and images which encourage sin and make it out to be a wonderful lifestyle. Sin is glamorized and portrayed as romantic and attractive. Sexual immorality is assumed to be normal in our culture. Those who desire to live holy and chaste lives, both within and outside of marriage, are mocked and ridiculed as being old-fashioned, out of touch, the reality of one's feelings. Filthy conversation and nonsensical talk are regarded as virtues to be strived after on many shows and entertainment programs. Drinking is an established way to deal with one's problems, and getting drunk is regarded as funny and amusing. Many spend their Monday mornings bragging about their wild parties on the weekend. Sin is exalted, and true virtue is laughed at and scoffed as being only for losers or those who cannot have fun as they see it. There is no end to sin and iniquity. And when it rains torrents like this in the world, it drips in the church and also affects God's people. For we are not immune to the influence of the world, since our third sworn enemy is our own sinful flesh. We always live with our hearts, and they are prone to sin by nature. We are corrupt and unable to do any good without God's transformative work in our hearts and minds. Daily we have to contend with the sins of weakness and the evil desires of our hearts. There is no time of true rest in this life because we have not yet attained to perfection. Our enemies are determined to ensnare us and attack us on every level and in every way. We know that Jesus Christ has triumphed over the evil one in his death and resurrection, but the war is not yet over. The devil may have lost the war, but there are many battles which still need to be fought, battles which involve you and me. And these battles are not irrelevant for the people who are involved in them. The devil is very active in seeking allies wherever he can. He has much of the world in his grip and no longer needs to work there. But he does work among us and tries to get some of us to fall away and desert our Lord and Savior. We are not strong in ourselves, but we need the help of the Lord constantly. Therefore, we urgently need to pray this prayer and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Each day we are caught in the battle of our lives, of our eternal destiny. Do we also experience our lives in this way? Do we see the need to pray this prayer? May we pray this prayer because we recognize the struggle against the evil one as a living reality in our lives. We are at war because God has claimed us as his very own. He will not let go of us, but he will hang on to us till the very end, protecting us from our enemies. May we be faithful in fighting the good fight of the faith and resist our enemies, standing firm in the faith. This battle against our enemies, the evil one, the world, and our sinful flesh, takes on many different forms for many different people. Each one of us would be able to tell a different story about how the battle takes shape and which temptations are the most difficult and pressing for us to deal with. May we learn to recognize the attacks of the evil one in our own life and resist him and flee from him. Flee away from him towards our Savior Jesus Christ. May we use the Word of God to strengthen our ability to fight against our enemies and receive the encouragement and direction that we need for waging war against our sworn enemies. The battle is fierce and needs to be fought on all fronts. Temptations come in blatant forms and also in more subtle forms. Temptation comes in whatever way the devil thinks will be the most successful for the particular people involved. May our lives be governed by the Lord and his word rather than our own priorities. Let us commit ourselves anew to the service of the Lord so that we want to fight against the evil one and be delivered from his power through Jesus Christ, the only Savior. Although the struggle against our enemies is fierce and difficult, yet we may also be encouraged and assured of the outcome. And so we come to the second point. In our prayer to the Lord, we praise him for the promised completion of his work. In verse 10, Peter writes, "And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." You may recognize the scripture text from the first profession of faith form. It is read after the young people have professed their faith. It is meant for their encouragement in the faith which they have just professed. These are very fitting words, also now in dealing with the sixth petition. May these words be of great encouragement to us in this present time as we face so many temptations and enemies in this world. As we wrestle with loss and grief, as we struggle with sufferings of various kinds and the demands of living in a society that seems to be getting more and more stressed out. These words in verse 10 acknowledge that there will be difficulties, sufferings, and hard times. This is a fact in this fallen and sinful world. And yet there is always hope for the future, because the Lord is among us as congregation here and in you personally as individuals. For the God of all grace has called us through the gospel to his eternal glory in Christ. What an amazing blessing and promise that is. Calling our Heavenly Father the God of all grace points to the fact that our perseverance in the faith is not our own doing, but it is the Lord's work. For it is all by grace alone that we are able to go forward. We are not strong in ourselves. We do not deserve anything in ourselves, for we are only weak, fallen sinners. We do not achieve anything worthy of the Lord in our own strength. But that does not matter, since the Lord cares for us, and he upholds us, and he gives us what we need. All we need to do is to respond in thankful joy for what he has given us. All we need to do is go to him in humility and in prayer, seek him above all else. And therefore the Lord Jesus also taught us to pray this petition, that we would find our comfort and solace in God alone rather than in ourselves. We were taught to rely upon the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to resist our enemies. As God's children who pray to our Father in heaven, we may be confident that our Heavenly Father will achieve for us complete deliverance from the power of the evil one. This is the case because our Heavenly Father is God, the only one who has complete power and dominion over all things. He is the one who has created all things. He is the one who speaks the truth and fulfills the promises he makes. He is the one who is always dependable and never deceives anyone. While the devil is the father of lies and deception, God is our eternal Father who cares for us and does what is best for us. While the devil seeks to enslave and harm, God the Father seeks to give true liberation in accordance with the way in which he made this world. For true deliverance and freedom can only be found in his way, in the way that his law shows. For his law is truly good and perfect. His law is always right and pure. His law has been fulfilled by his Son, Jesus Christ, and it is through him that we may be set free from our bondage to the evil one. He has bought us with his precious blood, and therefore we may have hope for the future, a future filled with blessing and life. The Lord's Prayer contains the reasons why we may have firm confidence in God to answer our prayer and complete his promised work in us. It is because he has the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. He is the one who is able to provide the only solution to our enslavement by the evil one, as this occurred at the time of the fall into sin. These final words of the Lord's Prayer are a wonderful song of praise to God. What a fitting ending to a prayer which began with "Our Father in heaven." Our Heavenly Father is the Almighty One, the King of kings and Lord of lords. To him belongs the everlasting kingdom, which will never be defeated, but will endure forever and ever into all eternity. He is the great and awesome God who has fulfilled all of his promises to his people. He has showered upon us his goodness and mercy, and he will continue to do so. He was willing and continues to be willing to use his almighty power to help us, his children. We may be confident that what we ask of the Lord will be achieved, for to Him belongs all power. He will never let us down, but will achieve what He sets out to do. Therefore, we know that He will restore us and confirm, strengthen, and establish us also now for the rest of our lives here in this world unto all eternity. We are God's children, and we belong to Him, and nothing at all can separate us from His love in Christ Jesus. As we read in Romans 8, we know that all things, also difficulties and struggles, work together for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. That purpose is being fulfilled in our lives as we go from strength to strength, which the Lord provides us. To God alone belongs all the glory, because there is no one who compares with our great and wonderful God. He made all things, and He has prepared a wonderful dwelling for His people in heaven, in the new world. He has rescued His people from certain death in order that we might praise and glorify Him. Let us then always give to Him the glory and honor which is due to Him. Let us never cease to exalt in Him and find our chief joy in Him alone. To whom else can we go? There is no one else, for He is completely unique. He is the only one completely worthy of our adoration and worship. The Lord our God is the one to whom we must turn in our time of need, in the hour when temptation strikes, when the devil threatens to overwhelm us and devour us. Do not doubt that He can help us, but be confident in His work of restoration in us who seek Him for strength in the dark hour. Go to Him in prayer, confident that He will enable you to persevere in the faith. He will grant complete victory to those who seek Him and rely upon His word in time of temptation. He will surely show the way in which we can be faithful to Him. Be encouraged by what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has done by defeating the evil one and achieving for us complete deliverance from his power. Follow Him in resisting the devil and recognizing the need to turn to God and His revelation in Scripture for help in the battles in which we find ourselves. Go to God in prayer, and He will listen, and He will take heed, and give you every spiritual blessing. And finally, we come briefly to the last point, that we conclude our prayer with the Amen. The Catechism explains this word, Amen. It is true and certain. For God has much more certainly heard my prayer than I feel in my heart that I desire this of Him. Trust in the Lord always and rely on the rich promises of His grace. Know that what God has promised and told us will most certainly take place. It is true and certain that He Himself will restore us and make us strong, firm, and steadfast for the remainder of our time on earth until He comes to take us to Himself. He will surely give us what we need in the hour of temptation and deliver us from the devil's prowlings. He will never let us down, but will receive us as His sons and daughters, whom He has saved through the work of Jesus Christ, His Son. Communion with Him has been restored, and this will be achieved in completeness and perfection when Christ returns on the clouds of heaven. Beloved in the Lord, brothers and sisters, may the prayer which our Lord Jesus taught us give us true and lasting direction as we seek the Lord in prayer each day again. Let us give Him the glory and the praise. May we never doubt that God hears our prayer for the sake of His Son and our Savior. Let us pray for the hallowing of His name, that many may praise Him, and that His glory will be rejoiced in by His creatures. Let us pray for the coming of His kingdom, that the works of darkness will be destroyed and banished forever. May the church continue to grow and increase, and may His word prosper and flourish as His missionaries continue to go out to the ends of the earth. May His will be done eagerly and joyfully, in harmony with the goodness of His law. Let us pray that His Holy Spirit would transform our hearts and minds more and more. Jesus Christ also taught us to depend completely upon the Lord for our daily bread and to ask Him for this. We are not self-sufficient, but we depend upon God for every breath. All things that we have are gifts from Him, which we receive for a time to use in His service. And when we pray for the forgiveness of our sins, then Jesus, our Savior, taught us also to include the phrase, "as we have also forgiven our debts." In this way, He taught us how the attitude of our own heart towards others is a reflection of our gratitude to God who forgives us our sins. Those who realize how much they have been forgiven by God will also love God and their neighbor much. But those who think they have been forgiven little will also love little. May we all love God much and extend this love to our brothers and sisters in the church and to everyone else as well. Let us rely upon our Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, to deliver us from the evil one. The devil has lost the war and will continue to lose many more battles as the kingdom of God advances in this world. Let us be watchful and sober-minded as we live in this world in which the devil prowls around like a roaring lion. May he not devour any of us, but rather be sent away in defeat. For Jesus Christ is the victorious and glorious one. It is because of him that we may be more than conquerors. It is Christ's love which defeats the evil one, who is filled with hatred. And therefore, there is nothing at all which can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And may our prayers be full of praise and glory being given to our loving Heavenly Father, to our perfect Savior Jesus Christ, and to the comforting Spirit of Christ, who is always with us into all eternity. Amen. Let us now go to our Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that your Son has taught us how to pray. Also that we must pray for strength in the face of temptation, that we might not be led into it, that we might resist the evil one in your power, standing firm in the faith which we profess. Help us all to be faithful in the faith we have professed. We thank you for the assurance which you give us that you will finish your work in us and complete it to perfection, that you will restore us, make us strong, firm, and steadfast. Often we do not feel so firm and steadfast, When we are rocked by attacks from our sworn enemies, the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh. Yet we have reason for hope and assurance, because you are with us, and you defend and preserve us. How good it is to know you, the God of all grace, who has had compassion upon us and rescued us from the evil one, with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, your Son. What a privilege it is to belong to you and to know that there is nothing at all which can separate us from you in both life and in death. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.